I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. If a child commits a crime, even a serious one, should they go through the same justice system and pay the same price as an adult? That's just one of a host of issues surrounding juvenile justice. Today, as part of our ongoing series on criminal justice, we look at how kids end up behind bars and what other options judges have when faced with a young offender. For more, we have Carol Schofer, Executive Director of the Youth Law Center. Welcome, Carol.
Thank you. Welcome.
So let's start with a little scenario. There's a 16-year-old and his friend who go into a convenience store. They ask for money. The clerk says no. The friend shoots the clerk. If the 16-year-old is arrested and charged, what are some of the possible paths that the justice system could take with the person who was not the shooter but who was part of this crime?
Well, in virtually every state, the accomplice will be equally guilty as the shooter and will be charged the same as the shooter. Because of this is a basic criminal justice issue, not a juvenile justice issue, and it's a felony murder rule. So that's the first point. In different states, the young person will be handled in different ways. In some states, they will automatically be tried as an adult because of the nature and severity of the crime. In some states, it will be the option of the district attorney as to whether to charge them as an adult. And in some states, the court will have the option as to whether to charge them as an adult or as a juvenile.
What's the difference between juvenile court and adult court? What makes juvenile court different in terms of both how it proceeds and the impact on someone's life?
Well, there are lots of differences. The first difference and the major difference is in many juvenile courts, there's no right to a jury trial. There are other procedural rights that you may not have, like the right to a preliminary hearing. The intent of the juvenile court is to provide rehabilitative services or habilitative services to juveniles, and the jurisdiction and length of the sentence is somewhat shorter. So we feel juvenile court is a more appropriate place for a young offender. They are losing some procedural rights, but they are gaining the right to some kind of service and treatment and to a limitation on the length of time that they can serve.
So, and once someone has committed a juvenile crime and served their time, sometimes the records are sealed. Isn't that correct?
Yes, the records can be sealed. They exist. They are confidential. In some places, see, again, it's difficult to generalize across the country. In some places, you have access to those records. In some places, you don't. But in every place, you can get those records sealed after a certain period of time.
What do we know about the ways that young offenders are tracked into different types of programs, juvenile detention centers versus boot camps versus other alternatives? You know, what kind of options are there once someone has been sentenced as a juvenile in terms of where they go?
Once you're sentenced as a juvenile, there's a broad array of options. Detention centers are primarily for pretrial. They're the equivalent of what we think of as a jail in the adult system. Boot camps, the equivalent of juvenile prisons, which are often called training schools, are the most serious option for juveniles, short of being tried and sentenced to the adult system. But theoretically, and in many jurisdictions, there are many less severe options, which are treatment-based options, which could be at-home confinement with intensive services. It could be confinement to a group home or any other kind of habilitative program. Juveniles should have a right to services because they've given up their right to things like a jury trial in return for services. Unfortunately, with the attitude in the country that is a get tough on crime and fear of youth attitude, more and more juveniles go into the more severe settings. And of course, and I think this is very relevant to your show, there is a huge racial disparity in where children end up.
Give me a sense of that.
Well, there is a disparate in every single state, and the data changes state by state, but in every single state there is a huge disproportionality between the number of particularly African American but also Latino youth who wind up in high level facilities as opposed to Caucasian youth who wind up in high level facilities. So, I mean, it can,
and by high level, you mean the higher security?
I mean, more intensive, more secure facilities. Ironically, or maybe not so ironically, when you look at high facilities that have a high level of treatment, you'll see disproportionately white youth in the high level of treatment facilities. But from the very first day, when we start with arrest, which I'm sure you're very familiar with, but moving on through the system, there is continuous and increased disproportionality. That doesn't even deal with the real disproportionality in the system between families that have assets and families that have fewer assets. So youth in the juvenile justice system are primarily African-American and Latino, but are almost entirely low-income youth.
I know someone who basically committed a crime as a young man and got a felony conviction and then found out that most people who had money to hire a lawyer would have gotten a misdemeanor, and it changed his entire life. Is that something that happens to people who don't have means?
This is a huge issue because the quality of representation for juveniles, even more so than for adults, is very disparate. So in addition to the fact that possibly the system has some biases in it against youth who are either African-American, Latino, poor, there is also the question of what kind of representation can you obtain. And public defenders for juveniles are the newest public defenders or public defenders who have often decided that they don't want to advance. So you can have wonderful juvenile public defenders, and I don't want to criticize everyone, but in many cases, your less experienced, less competent attorney is in the juvenile system. In many instances, if there are co-defendants, as in the case you described at the very beginning of this discussion, the adult will get the more experienced attorney who can make a better deal for them, ironically, and the juvenile will get the less experienced attorney who is being paid less even, and who is anxious to make that deal. And I imagine in your friend's case, they may have just made a deal to say, you want to just get out of this, and it's just a juvenile offense, and it's no big deal. That isn't true anymore. A couple of questions ago, you asked me about records being sealed. That is true to some extent, but more and more, the fact that you have a juvenile felony still precludes you from lots of kinds of employment and other things. So in California, for example, you cannot be a peace officer if you are convicted of a juvenile felony, despite the fact you didn't have a jury trial. You may have pled out thinking this is no big deal, but it is a big deal. It stays on your record for some purposes forever. And then when we come to issues like immigration status, it's a huge problem.
Carol, thanks for the information.
Oh, thank you very much.
Carol Schofer is the executive director of the Youth Law Center, and we just spoke about how kids end up in jail or detention, but what is it really like inside?